The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
I'm Mike Consul.
And I'm Loretta Klotfelter.
Welcome to Inside the Edition for December 2019. Institutional Real Estate Americas, our editor, Loretta Klotfelter, presiding. Loretta, you have a lead story, one of your lead stories anyway, Finding Its Place. It really talks about the opportunities that exist for real estate and real estate investment and defined contribution retirement plans. So let's start with kind of a basic question here. Why has real estate historically been a bigger factor with defined benefit retirement plans, which have rapidly become almost extinct, than defined contribution plans, which are the ones that are in vogue? Why has the has it worked for DB plans but not DC plans?
Well, I think, so I'm specifically talking about investment in private real estate. If you think about a defined benefit plan versus a defined contribution plan and how they're typically provided, private real estate just has not been a good fit for the defined contribution market historically. And that has to do with just sort of the products and structures involved. If you think about, the defined contribution, the early sort of 401k idea, it was like a list of mutual funds that you could sort of pick and choose from as an individual. And, within that, for various structural reasons, real estate, it was very, you couldn't really do a real estate mutual fund. This had to do with liquidity issues and some of the valuation stuff. And so because the only real estate mutual fund available was going to be one that invested in real estate stocks, you just didn't, like a REIT mutual fund would, of course, be a possibility. You just didn't see a huge market for private real estate in the defined contribution world. By contrast, the defined benefit plan, because it's, a single expert board of decision makers who are then investing all of the money for all of their plan participants, they could then allocate a portion of that toward different alternatives like private real estate in order to take advantage of some of those advantages that private real estate investment offers. I'm talking about things like the diversification benefit, the inflation protection, the income that real estate can provide, the fact that it is less correlated with some of the other investments. So, the private defined benefit plans were able to look at private real estate, see the benefit from that, and invest with, fairly large ticket sizes on behalf of all of their plan participants. But then when it came time for the defined contribution plans, which, keep in mind, initially when these came out, they were really just a supplement to what was considered, to sort of a standard pension, but over time, with the drop-off by in public, and sort of even on the public side, the defined benefits, then you're seeing now all of a sudden the 401k or, I think there are some other structures similar, 457s and whatnot, you're seeing that be responsible for someone's entire retirement, and yet we're just handing it over to the individual to make decisions to pick and choose from a list of mutual funds, possibly one of which might offer a REIT focus. I mean, that's the history, and that's why private real estate really did not historically have a place in defined contribution. What's changed is that in about the last 10 years in particular, we've seen a huge increase in target date funds. And the target date fund is, it's a structure that will then, be able to invest in a lot of different asset classes, including private real estate. And so now there's a structure that can add a private real estate option that's, you know, because these are not structured, these are not mutual funds, and so they're not held to the same restrictions that mutual funds have. And so that's been really, really great. And the nice thing about the target date fund, too, is like a defined benefit plan, a target date fund is really looking at asset liability matching over the course of a participant's lifespan, or, you know, over their age. Because, you know, the great thing about the target date fund, so for instance, you know, if I'm, as I am, about 40, and I'm thinking that I'm going to retire at about 65, then I would sign up for a 2045 target date fund. This is a fund that has the year 2045 as its target date. And so over the course of the lifespan of that fund, it's going to rebalance its asset mix to reflect what I am going to need on the risk-return spectrum as I age, so that when I, you know, cash out, now I have, you know, the best possible rebalancing, which, you know, is gonna do that for me. So,
and like a DB plan, then this is professionally managed by human beings. Is that because I've heard target date funds referred to as mini DB plans, defined benefit plans.
Yes, and there's two different things happening in the target date fund world. So there's the off the shelf target date fund, you know, so Vanguard, Fidelity, et cetera, they've put together target date products. But some of the very big defined contribution plans are actually looking at doing their own custom target date fund for just their participants. And that's really where we're seeing a lot of interest in private real estate, because the reason you would go custom, you know, the reason why a defined contribution pension plan sponsor would want to go custom in the first place is because they have sort of a particular view on what the best retirement options would be. And so what you're seeing in particular with these custom target date funds is a huge increase in interest in private real estate investment in a way that you do not, much less so than you do from sort of the off-the-shelf target date funds, and much more than you do just from the supermarket of mutual fund world that existed pre-TDF. And so that's really been a huge thing. The other place that you're seeing a lot of interest in private real estate in these structures is from company called outsourced CIOs, and you'll see this when, especially with corporate plans, you know, when they get to a certain point where they're just not, where it no longer makes sense to manage the money within their own organization, they will outsource it to another organization that will just sort of take that over. And these outsourced CIO organizations are much more likely to look at private real estate as a way to enhance returns and reduce risk. I mean, we at the Institute for Real Estate America's Magazine, we talk all the time about the benefits of investing in real estate for institutional investors. And so, you know, one of the really frustrating things about the retirement world until recently was that people whose retirements were in defined contributions did not have access to the kind of benefits that people who had their money in defined benefit pension plans were. It's just been a real problem for them to not be able to access these structures that are, as I said, provide income, are uncorrelated, diversified, and so with that, I think we're seeing a real rise in interest for these, you know, private real estate for DC plans. But the thing is, you know, the fund structures that work for the defined benefit plan do not work for the defined contribution plans.
Mm-hmm. So what are some, and is that, actually, I think you may have just answered my next question, which is, what are the key, you know, really points of resistance that prevent investment in real estate by defined contribution plans? And as we say, you know, this is private real estate, not the securitized real estate. What about that?
Well, like I said, so the first issue, and I mean this is just sort of a resistant point. The first issue that had to be solved, and to a certain extent has been solved, is presenting that a private real estate investment in a structure that can work for a DC plan. What needed to be solved were two questions. One is daily valuation, and one is liquidity. These are the two things that any sort of investment product absolutely had to have in order to play in the DC market, even within the target date funds, which, you know, like I said, are not having the same requirements necessarily as a mutual fund, but you do need to hit the daily val and the liquidity. And so a lot of companies have, you know, spent the last decade figuring out ways to do that, coming up with certain ways to certain formulas on how to value the fund, how to provide a daily valuation for their portfolio, and how to provide a liquidity. Usually, the method that we're seeing a lot is a liquidity sleeve, it's called, or a wrapper made of REITs. So you'll use, you know, traded listed real estate stocks as sort of a wrapper to kind of create that liquidity buffer in order to meet the liquidity requirements. And you'll usually see 10 to 20% allocated toward REITs, although some of the newer products are even looking at, what kind of, that maybe some of these initial liquidity requirements maybe came in a little higher than actually was needed, looking at how much trading is really going on, how much liquidity they really need. The other thing is, just structuring it. So collective investment trusts are quite popular as the underlying structure for these funds that are not all of them, but about half tracked by the DCREC, that's the Defined Contribution Real Estate Council. They've got about half of the products in the market right now are structured as a collective investment trust. And the idea then is that because of this particular technical structure, a lot of them are able to kind of snap in and out of a TDF. So that was like the first element of resistance, is just can you create a product that'll work? And that's been more or less solved by the firms who are approaching this. The other issues are just sort of a fragmentation of the market and the decision makers involved. There's a level of sophistication in the defined benefit world that is not always seen in the defined contribution world when it comes to real estate investment. And the more closely, for instance, for a lot of retirement plans, you might have both a defined benefit and a defined contribution team. And if those teams are not in conversation, you know, if they're not sort of working closely together, you're going to see less of a take-up on the real estate side versus, a retirement system that has just a much tighter working relationship between those two groups. A couple of the other issues. So, one of the big issues is litigation risk. The defined contribution market is just a little bit more litigious than defined benefit, and this means that the defined contribution plan sponsors are even more cautious than their DB counterparts when it comes to trying something new. And because they take because you have a fiduciary risk, and in any time you kind of get outside the box or do something different, that limits the interest in trying new things. It's not insurmountable, of course, but it is just something to be aware of, that there is a hesitancy and a caution related to that. And that's because, introducing private real estate, it's new, it does add some complexity, and it does sort of ask the question, well, why are you doing this? And so, usually the reasons are quite good, but it still has to be explained. And then the other real issue, and this has been a real sticking point for real estate, is fees. Because the defined contribution world is very, very fee conscious. And, you know, some of that might just reflect that when an individual is making a decision about where they would like to allocate their investment dollars, whether it's into a target date fund or a mutual fund or anything else, one of the pieces of information they have to compare between products is that fee load. And so real estate has higher fees than a lot of other asset classes, and it's a high-touch asset class. Like, there's no – I mean, there's some downward pressure on fees in the market depending on the cycle, but, you know, it's going to cost more to run a private real estate portfolio that's buying and selling buildings across the country than it is to run an index fund. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. And so one of the things, though, about the target date fund is that, you know, while you might be looking at, you know, 150 or 200 basis point fees for the real estate segment within it, when it's blended across the whole target date fund, you're only going to see it add maybe 10 basis points to the overall fee load, because it's not, you know, it's not that the whole thing is in real estate. And so that actually has helped quite a bit, too, in making real estate a lot more attractive, because again, when that fee load gets blended with all the others, it's only maybe a 10 basis point difference. So that can be a lot more attractive.
So let's say somebody's getting into a target date fund at 2020, and the retirement date is 2030. So you're only talking about a 10-year track. Would especially with, you know, you were just talking about just the, you know, fiduciary responsibilities, concerns about litigation and whatnot. So I'm wondering if it's a short 10-year track, if they even have target date funds that short, whether
they
would be more,
do they?
So they would be more aggressive with the real estate at a point like that, I would imagine, or do they shy away from ever getting too aggressive even on a short track because they are concerned about the lawyers coming after them if it doesn't work out?
Well, it's all about the sort of the asset mix and the particular decisions that have been made about that structure, you know, and what sort of what's the ideal balance, risk reward, and you know, it's, you know, we talk about, oh, you know, private real estate and target date funds, it's this huge new thing and it's a huge big deal, and all of that is true, and yet, you know, it's not a huge portion. If you think about the typical off-the-shelf target date fund, you know, maybe 5 to, you know, a very small percentage of them even do the private real estate. It's only really the custom TDFs that really even look at real estate. I think there's a report from the Defined Contribution Institutional Investment Association, and they found that almost half of custom TDFs use real estate. And these tend to be about $1 billion or more in assets at the most sophisticated defined contribution retirement systems. And that's really the only place, you know, that's really where you're seeing it happen. And because of the level of sophistication and the sort of thought coming in with these custom TDFs, you know, I do think they're gonna look at that very carefully. The interesting thing right now is when we're talking about private real estate in defined contribution, we are almost exclusively talking about core real estate. The vast majority of the products available in the market are core real estate products. When I say the defined contribution market, that's just a small slice of what's available for the defined benefit world, the vast array of real estate investment options that are available. And one can envision a time where, you know, the defined contribution, maybe through target date funds, maybe through other structures, can be even a lot more thoughtful and selective about how it uses value-added versus core real estate. With all of that said, I think you are going to see a real sort of shift in the market, and you're going to see a lot more. I really believe that we're at a moment where private real estate is going to become much more prevalent in the defined contribution world overall. I really think we are perhaps not at a tipping point, but close to it. And I think that's going to be really a really interesting time.
Well, why do you think that? And the reason I ask is because REITs have performed so well in recent years that you could have people saying, you know, why do I need to get into private real estate when the securitized real estate that's on the market and is extremely liquid has done so well?
I mean, that's a great question. And I think the answer would be, you know, why do the defined benefit pension plans invest in real estate, private real estate? You know, what if they did, you know, the same reasons that support defined contribution investment in private real estate are the ones that defined benefit investment in real estate has made sense for all this time. So, you know, I think one of those things does have to come down to just, you know, whether or not you see a premium involved in private real estate. And if you believe that as a defined benefit pension plan, then it kind of makes sense that as a defined contribution pension plan, you would also see that to be the case.
Interesting. So in your reporting and writing of the story, because this is your story, which is pretty clear, you have a really detailed knowledge of this. The future, and you've already spoken to this to some degree, that you do see private real estate playing a much bigger role in the future in the defined contribution plans. Anything else about the future through your reporting that that you would cite that you think is going to become perhaps some innovations or some trends that are part and parcel of this whole movement?
Well, I'd really point to, you know, the ongoing shift of retirement dollars from defined benefit pensions to defined contribution pensions. This is the biggest story in retirement and has been for decades. And this is an ongoing shift. We've been watching it happen. And what has happened up to this point is you've seen a lot of the corporate pension plans, you know, for the big companies, big and small companies, most corporate pension plans are, if not entirely, have not, even if they have not entirely done away with their defined benefit plan, maybe they've just frozen its assets, they are shifting all of the new dollars going into defined contribution retirement systems. And so, you know, just the sheer size of the defined contribution pension market is going to continue to grow. Up to this point, we've seen the public pension plans, those for state and local employees in particular, they've actually held quite steady on the defined benefit side, but those two are now beginning to be frozen to new entrants. So, you know, the legacy of real estate is that, it's going to be another couple decades that we see this shift from defined benefit to defined contribution, because the defined benefit plans that exist, even if they're frozen to new members, they still have to manage people's retirements for decades more. And as that happens, they might even be more interested in investing in private real estate than they have been because of the way it balances well on the asset liability spectrum as people get older and you need more income. That being said, that's also going to become true on the contribution side. You know, there's been a huge push up to now about getting people to invest into their defined contribution plans. You know, that's been where a lot of the effort has been made because, you know, if you're not working with individuals and telling them, hey, you know, you need to allocate 5, 10, 20, you know, percent of your income to your 401k, you need to fill out these forms, make sure you're filling it out, you know, all the different ways that companies and processes might be designed to encourage people to put that money into the 401k. We haven't really seen as much emphasis on how to manage their money through retirement. You know, what happens once a person retires and how do they continue to live well with that retirement? And, you know, at that point, again, private real estate might be one of those really attractive things. You know, you're talking, again, high current income, low correlation with other assets, provides a diversification benefit, and an inflation hedge. All of that is something that you're going to want not just as you grow your assets toward retirement, but as you maintain and draw down your assets through retirement.
And listeners, if you're still with us, you have a special interest in this subject, so I would really encourage you to go to the article that Loretta Klausfelter wrote. It's called Finding Its Place, subtitled What Opportunities Exist for Real Estate Investment in Defined Contribution Retirement Plans. And as Loretta has emphasized, we're talking about private real estate here. It is in the December edition of Institutional Real Estate Americas. And as you could hear, Loretta went into some real depth on this issue, and there's a lot of innovation going on there. So grab yourself a copy, or hopefully you're receiving a copy. Open up to that story because there's much more there. Loretta, great job. Thanks a lot for taking the time.
Thank you. You have a great day.